Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay, and my very special guest is a wonderful actor, a character actor extraordinaire, a gentleman named Robert Craighead. Robert, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show, Frank.
Right, listen, for a young guy, you've been doing this a long time. When did you get started?
Well, it depends upon what you consider young, but I started doing theater when I was a teenager, but I actually came out to Hollywood when I was 18 years old and went to acting school at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts for 3 years before I ventured into working professionally. So I guess I was about 21 by the time I started professionally.
And is this something that just hit you? As a teenager, or did it start younger? I mean, did you get on stage? I always say as a tree or rock or something. And
well, I think what happened was I've kind of thought about this a lot over the years. Is what actually spurred me on was, I think whenever I was a kid in grade school, they had a talent show, and all the guys who were they had their bands and whatnot, and I couldn't do any. I couldn't play any musical instruments at the time, and I could do impersonations, though. And so I did some crazy impersonations like John Wayne and Jerry Lewis and stuff like that. And anyway, I won the talent contest. And getting all the notoriety from that, from all the other kids, just, hey, do John Wayne for me, do John Wayne. And so it's like you get that encouragement and say, oh, I've got to do this all the time. So
yeah, how old were you when that happened?
I guess I was probably around the fourth or fifth grade. I think it was something like that.
See, that's early.
David,
that's very good.
David's class, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's great. And what about your parents? Were they encouraging on this, or were they saying, hey, listen, stop messing around with talking like other people and just pick up a book once in a while?
Actually, my parents were very supportive. My dad was in the oil business in Texas, and he had a business that he had hoped that I would take over for him, but I didn't like getting my hands dirty. So when I turned 18, my dad was fully supportive of me coming out to California and going to acting school. He supported me for a couple of years, just as if I would have gone to any normal university, So
you see, that's terrific. He got it, and he realized, hey, this is something that you're interested. What about your mom? Was she a movie fan or a TV fan?
Actually, yeah. My sister, Deborah, was named after Deborah Kerr. My brother was named after Troy Donahue. My dad, his name is Robert, but my mother swears I was named after Robert Mitchum. So,
but let me just say, when you have something like that going for you, you got a huge advantage because they got the bug even before you had the bug. They had the bug, and that's a nice support role that you would get from them. Let me remind everyone who just might be tuning in right now that this is Frank McKay, and Robert Craighead is my very special guest, and just a wonderful character actor, and just a tremendous resume, and everything from episodic TV to films to soaps. You've done a little bit of it all. I mean, is there something out there that you wish you would have done more of, or is it just a matter of, keeping busy?
Well, actually, I just started doing something that I wish I had started a little earlier in life. I just started doing country and Western music because I always loved country music when I was a kid growing up. And it would always, impersonate some of the great country and Western singers and like Johnny Cash and whatnot, because I've always had this deep voice. Anyway, about 2 years ago, I was doing a world premiere musical called Paradise. It's a bluegrass musical comedy, and it's all original music. And a couple of the songs in the show, I went to the writer and I said, hey, would you mind if I converted this over into like old school honky tonk country and Western and recorded these songs? And he said, yeah, that sounds great. I'll produce it. And the writer's name's Cliff Wagner. And so we went into the recording studio, and he picked up some fantastic musicians, like, I can't remember all of their names, but the lead guitarist for the Bellamy Brothers and whatnot. We recorded a couple of songs, put them out on iTunes. They're out there on, in the internet everywhere, Amazon, whatever. I really thoroughly enjoyed that. Right now I'm working on a world premiere musical with Paul Overstreet, based upon all his music. He's a country music hall of fame writer and singer. Worked with Randy Travis and George Jones, Forever and Ever, Amen, and just tons of great, great songs.
Not to cut you off, but we had Ronnie Cox on the show recently. He was a great guest. You know Ronnie. I don't know if you know him personally.
Not personally, no.
But wonderful actor. And now he tours. I don't know how many shows a year he plays, but, you know, he's singing and storytelling and, you know, playing, like, folk music. And, you know, it's very, very, very nice, very enjoyable. But his acting...
Yeah, I kind of got the idea from Jeff Bridges, you know? I mean, because here he is. Now he's got this fantastic show that he does, with Jeff Bridges and the Abiders. And so it was kind of like, hey, you know, Jeff can do it. I can do this, you know. So it's something I always wanted to do. And so now I'm tinkering around in it. So,
well, it's the acting and the success that you've had in acting that allows you that freedom to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to try something. And if you're
if it
takes off, it's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it was more like a life thing. You know, I don't call it a bucket list. I call it a life list. But it was one of those things on my life list that I wanted to do, you know. And so now I'm messing around with it, and it's having a ball, having a great time. But, of course, if an acting job comes up, that takes priority, you know.
Yeah, that's your day gig, you know. You gotta stick with that. I'm sure.
Pay the bills, you know. Yeah.
Right. Well, you mentioned a life list, and you know, some people may call it a bucket list. I'm big on lists, and I'm big on goals. Are you a goal setter? Are you that type of guy?
Oh, definitely. No, I had a football coach, Joe Loudermilk, when I was a kid that. He instilled into me the power of positive mental attitude. And actually right now I'm looking above my desk, my license plate when I was a young actor, it says positive. And that is just a word that I created because I believe in the power of the mind, and that if you believe that you can accomplish something, all you've got to do is put everything out there and put your ducks in a row to accomplish that goal. And nothing can stop you, you know.
So. Are you a self-help guy? Are you into Norman Vincent Peale and Napoleon Hill and guys like that?
Oh, yeah. I love all of those the self-help guys. Actually, also a very dear friend of mine, Dee Wallace, is also a very inspirational friend of mine that she's always working with me as well. But
we've had her on the show. She's terrific. She's a terrific guest, terrific actress.
I've been friends with Dee for, my God, ever since I started in this business. And she's been a very, she's been a huge inspiration to me. Yeah.
Were you in Cujo?
Yes, actually, it was one of my first movies. And I wound up on the cutting room floor, but I did work on the film. I still get checks for like 30 cents every now and then, you know.
But
I was the first one to encounter the dog when it became rabid in the movie. And then they cut about a half hour of the movie out on the master cut. So I didn't make that. And but that is one of the first things I worked with Dee on. And it's interesting because just recently I finished a movie with Dee that her and I play lovers in the film. And it's called Flowers in December. It'll be hitting the film festival circuits coming up later this year. So
nice.
And it was wonderful to be able to work together with her again on film.
We're coming up at a point where I should remind everyone that Robert Craighead is our very special guest. This is Frank McKay. And if you haven't seen his work, Google him. He's got a resume a mile long, and he's just a wonderful character actor. And I told you earlier that we're off mic that my mother was a big Bold and the Beautiful fan, and you did so many of those episodes. And it's great work if you can get it. It's great work. My late mom used to love that show. But let me bring up something about Dee Wallace and maybe you can bring it up to her. But when I was interviewing her, I said, who was cast first? Who did Spielberg cast first, you or Drew Barrymore? And she said, you know, I'm not sure. Because if Dee Wallace was, and think about this, this is a bizarre little twist. And she said she'd never been asked the question before. But if Dee Wallace had been cast first, there is a chance that Drew Barrymore, who has a an incredible career now as an adult and whatever, but she really got a break from E.T.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
and
she was wonderful.
If Dee Wallace was the one that was cast first in that movie, there's a good chance that she is partly indirectly responsible for Drew Barrymore being so successful, because they probably want to match up the looks. And if you think about it, Drew Barrymore as a little girl does look like Dee a little. You know, I mean, they matched them up.
She does. But I knowing Dee, because that's about the time I met Dee, was when she was working on E.T. And I know for a fact from working with Dee on several projects that she was probably very inspirational in Drew as far as bringing out and making her comfortable at such an early age in her career. And I don't have a doubt about that in my mind at all. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
very inspirational.
Yeah, that's interesting. And she's one of those people who, she's got a resume a mile long, too. But she's got a very positive attitude on everything. I love optimists. I consider myself an optimist at all costs. How early on did you start thinking like that? How did you get into positive thinking?
Well, like I said, I was in high school. I was playing football in Texas. You know, you had to play football. And
It's a rule. It's a law. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was playing football, and anyway, I'd gone down a wrong path, started getting in some trouble, and I quit the football team in my sophomore year, and this new coach came in, and he called me into his office, and he said, Robert, I've been watching some game films from last year, and he says, I'd like for you to come back and play football for me. And so he said, but let's do something. Let's set some goals. And he said, what would you like to accomplish? You know, I said, well, I'd like to be all state. I'd like to, I'd like to play in a bowl game, And so he set these goals up, and he said, all right, then let's work towards that. And anyway, he had a motivational period every morning. When you came into school, the first period was going to his office, our whole football team, and he would read motivational things to us to get us inspired, and to it was more of a life lesson than it was trying to teach you about going out there and beating somebody's head in on the football field. It was more about how to deal with problems as you come up to them and how to overcome them. And it still is a true inspiration to me as well.
You're very fortunate, and so are the guys on that team. Very fortunate to get a coach like that. There's so many coaches that just care about, the other way, just smash mouth.
I got to say, he did something else for the whole community, the whole town. He got us to. He put this secret word out there, and it was quadja, and only the football team knew what it meant. And we would chant it as we came onto the football field, and the whole town got to where they were chanting it. And it became, really famous in North Texas. It was quadja, quadja, quadja. Everybody wanted to know what quadja meant. And now 35 years later, I can tell you, it meant quit hell, we just got here.
Very good.
That's what kind of guy this was. You just keep trying, you keep plugging, you keep going at it. And so that's pretty been my mantra for my life, is quadja. Just quadja, baby.
Well, how about growing up? What about your parents? And, we touched on what they did, but what were they like? What were they like as teachers and parents?
Well, my dad, he's a self-made man. He was born, he has three brothers. He was born he came from a very poor family, and they didn't have them. Their mother died when they were very young, and so they were raised by their father, who had a bit of a drinking problem, gambling problem, and so they pretty much had to fend for themselves. And it's remarkable what happened. One of them became a very successful airline pilot, president of the pilots union. Another one became vice president of Snap-on Tools International. Then my dad became a very, very successful oil man and owned his own company, logging and perforating, self-taught, a geologist. And then their youngest brother became an officer in the Navy. And so they all overcame things in their life, getting a rough start in the world, and became very successful. So to me, that's what it's, you know, my dad worked constantly. He's a workaholic. And I mean, he's 77, 78 years old now, and he still works, you know. And so whenever I think about, oh, I'm tired, or, oh, I can't do this, you know, there's a couple of things. He think of my dad, and, you know, he never quit. He never gave up. He kept going for it. So, yeah, I'm very proud of my father.
And that's terrific.
Done with his life. Yeah. And my mother, the same way. She was she went back to high school and got her high school degree later on in life, and she became an artist and a very, very prolific artist, a wonderful painter. And so, yeah, no, it's
that's terrific. Yeah, you got great parents. It just sounds like,
oh yeah,
terrific.
Yeah, super, super parents. I love them both.
Let me remind everyone once again that this is Frank McKay, but more importantly, my special guest is Robert Craighead, a wonderful character actor, and he's got a resume a mile long. Let me ask you about the moment that you found out that you were being cut, or your scene was being cut from Cujo. I mean, what goes through your head there? I mean, is that like total disappointment? I mean, it's got to be disappointment.
Oh, of course. Especially,
is it like, devastating?
Yeah, it was my first movie. I was, it was, oh my God, you know. And of course, fortunately, Dee Wallace and her husband Christopher Stone, who were the stars of the film, you know, they're very, very dear friends of mine, and they called me. They said, "Robert, we got something to tell you," you know. And anyway, they broke the news to me and said, "We just saw the final cut," and you know, and Chris was, of course, saying, "Oh, they cut a bunch of my stuff out too, man." You know, he's like, you know, but so he was disappointed.
A big difference, big difference getting cut out when you're the main guy. They cut a couple of the scenes. They cut your whole deal out.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I just chalked it. You know, it's one of those things that happens in the business. And I've been fortunate that's the only time it's ever happened, you know. So, of course, in your mind, you think, "Oh, this is it. This is my big break. You know, this big Stephen King movie." It was his first, you know.
Yeah.
He was there on set. You
know? Wow.
And yeah.
What was your impression of Stephen King?
I thought he was, oh my God, at the time I was very impressionable. I thought he was genius, you know. And I didn't spend a lot of time with him, but I was honored to be able to meet such a fantastic writer, you know. And so, you know, I really couldn't say I had any more of an impression than just awe.
Yeah. Reputation precedes him, no question.
Right.
But anyway, Robert Craighead is just a wonderful actor. Got about a minute left with Robert, and this is Frank McKay. Robert, what can you leave us with? First of all, do you do social media, and can you point to a website where people can follow your career?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm out there on, I just started doing this Twitter thing, so I would love everybody to follow me on Twitter, because I'm posting. I just posted some pictures yesterday. I just did a guest star on NCIS Los Angeles, so I was just posting some pictures of me and LL Cool J and Chris O'Donnell. You know, so if people can follow along with me there, I'm always telling about what I'm doing. And
what's the Twitter handle? What's your handle?
It's at Robert Craighead.
All right, you didn't have competition for that, I guess. That was good.
That's a
good
thing.
There's no other Robert Craighead's out there that wanted to tweet the same way.
Well, there are some other Robert Craigheads out there.
There are.
Unfortunately, there weren't any out there on Twitter. So, yeah, I got that one. Nailed it. And also, follow me on Facebook. Once again, it's Robert Craighead. I've got a fan page out there. And please, I'm on there as well. And look up I've got a couple. I do want to tell you about a couple of movies coming out.
Go ahead.
Sometime later this year, aside from Flowers in December, is The Tiger Hunter with Danny Pudi from Community and Kevin Pollak, John Heater from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Right. And that'll be coming out later this year. And Give Till It Hurts is a movie I did with Dwayne Whitaker from Pulp Fiction and Daniel Roebuck, everybody knows from Lost, and it's hilarious. And another funny movie coming out is that I just finished filming is called Crabs, and that's a film about, it's hilarious. I know this sounds like it's some kind of crazy B-horror movie, but it is. It's hysterical. Some mutated crabs from the Fukushima power plant over in Japan when they had the nuclear explosion. They come over to Northern California and invade this sleepy little town, and I'm their inept sheriff there. So, but yeah, so please
listen,
check those out.
It is a great career, and you're in the process of a great, great career. One of the really fine character actors out there, Mr. Robert Craighead. Check him out and check out those movies coming up. Robert, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Frank. It is an honor to be on your show. Thank
and let's
you
get
so
you
much.
For a part two one of these days, and we'll catch up after these movies come out and see how everything's looking. But congratulations on everything, Robert.
Okay, thank you so much, and good luck to you as well. Continued success.
Thank you. Same here. Robert Craighead, everyone, has been our very special guest. Really a wonderful actor. Check out his work. Check him out on social media. And check out those movies he mentioned. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay.